Praise God. This is the night the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Would you turn to the book of Ephesians? Ephesians 5, please. In verse 1. Would you read it with me? Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. And walk in what? Love. As Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as it is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking or coarse jesting, which are not what? Fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. In other words, anyone who practices such things cannot enter eternal life. Verse 6. Let no one deceive you. Deceive you with empty words that say, yes, you can just do whatever you want, and you know, you're under grace, you know. Hello. But the word grace means the plan of God. It is the plan of God to escape. Grace is just not something to be trampled on. He's known as the Spirit of grace. The Bible says Jesus came in the fullness of grace and truth. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be what? Partakers with them. Verse 8. For you were once what? Darkness. But now you are what? Light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather what? Expose them. But rather what? Expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. And that's something that's happening right now. There's much exposure. It's like in this, it's because Christ is arising and rising through the body of Christ. And one of the things that's causing the arising of the body of Christ is the praise and worship. There is more praise and worship leaving this earth than there ever has been. And in this praise and worship, it's pushing back the powers of darkness and bringing the presence of God. And the presence of God is exposing darkness, because light exposes darkness. So it's not only our responsibility to expose these things, but it's our responsibility to not only expose them, but to witness to them. Has everybody got it? Why? Because we are the light. We are the light and the salt of this earth. That means that everything has been given to me and you. And there are those who are being deceived. Remember, we just read here about people being, don't be deceived by what? Empty words, false promises, false doctrines, false religions. You know, the word says you'll know them by their fruit. You'll know people by their fruit. You'll know the voice by the fruit. You can judge yourself what kind of fruit you are. Whether you're bearing good fruit or rotten fruit, you know exactly what it is. The whole thing is don't hide it, expose it, cut it off, get rid of it, get filled. Repent. It is a time of repentance. Because the blood must be activated. That the Christ, the light of truth, can be manifested in us and through us. And we are on a cutting edge. There's such a time right now where things are being exposed, and it's happening globally. Turn to Psalm 43. Nobody gets away with it, amen? Anyone who doesn't think God sees has no relationship. That's what relationship is about, right? Anybody that's doing stuff that God, they think that God doesn't see, has no relationship. They go behind closed doors and they do things. Oh, man won't see. But God will see. He knows exactly what's what. That means there's no reverence, respect, or honor, or fear of the Lord to him. That means you don't know him. So he desires relationship, not stinky religion. Relationship. There's enough religion out there. And in this relationship, what he's doing now, he's exposing more. And in this exposure, it's so that we can become free. God doesn't expose things to bring us in bondage. He exposes things to bring freedom. Because when things are being exposed, it's a manifestation of truth. And when truth is there, light is there. And where there's light, there's life. So things are being exposed all over globally. Psalm 43, would you read it with me? Vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against a what? Ungodly nation. And deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man, or the men associated with this nation. For you are the God of my strength. Why do you cast me off, and why do I go mourning? Because of the oppression of the enemy, and this is association, the oppression of the enemy associated with the ungodly nation that the enemy is using. Oh, send out your what? Your what? Your light and your truth. What's that going to do? It's going to expose. Oh, send out your light and your truth to what? Bring exposure. Let them what? Lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle, which is the presence of God. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and on the harp I will what? Praise you, O God, my God. Why are you cast down all my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Again, he is crying out because of the ungodly nations. The what? Ungodly nations. Go to Psalm 83. How many of y'all know that there's ungodly nations? Let's read Psalm 83, verse 1. So in this, in Psalm 43, he was crying out to be vindicated from the ungodly nations, the associations with them, the evil that comes from them. In verse 1, do not keep silent, O God, and do not hold your peace, and do not be still, God. For behold, your enemies make a tumult. And those who hate you have lifted up their head. They have taken crafty counsel against your people and consulted together against your sheltered ones. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a what? A nation. That the name of Israel may be remembered what? No more. So what he's saying now, there's going to be nations that are rising up to try to destroy Israel. He calls them ungodly nations. For they have consulted together with one consent. They have formed a what? Confederacy against you. They have formed a what? Confederacy against you. The tents of Edom and the what? Ishmaelites, Moab and Agrites, Gebel, Ammon, and Amalek, Philistia with the inhabitants of Tyre. Assyria also has joined with them. They have helped the children of Lot. Now listen, these are nations that he just called ungodly. These are nations that are rising. He said they have come together to create a confederacy. Now I want you to know something, that these are prophecies that are being fulfilled right now. They are being fulfilled right now. Now, this moment, in your breath time, there is a confederacy going on. You know, when you begin to see the words of this scripture, not only the words three-dimensional, past, present, and future, associated with here in this realm, but the eternal realm and the third dimensions, but it's also associated in the arena of the Eastern world. You know, so many times we try to calculate things and what's going on in the United States. Believe me, you don't have to worry about the United States right now. The United States is in the hand of God, no matter who rules here. Jesus still rules the United States. No matter who's in office, God eventually will remove them and put his people in. Because we are connected to Israel. And eventually we will help Israel no matter what, even though it may look like it's not happening. So in this, they've consulted, they've come and formed a confederacy, all of these nations. In verse 9 it says, deal with them as with Midian, with Syria, and with Jabin and Brook Kishon, who perish and endure, who became as a refuge on the earth. Make their nobles like Oreb and like Zeb. Yes, all their princes like Zebah and Zumala, who said, let us take for ourselves the pastures of God for possession. In other words, let us take their lands. Oh my God, make them like the whirling dust, like the chaff before the wind, as the fire burns the woods, and as the flame sets the mountains on fire. So pursue them with your tempest and frighten them with your storm. Fill their faces with shame that they may seek your name, O Lord, and let them be confounded and dismayed forever. Yes, let them be put to shame and perish that they may know that you, whose name alone is the Lord, are the most high over all the earth. And this is what's happening right now. We are in it. Go to Matthew 24. What's happening right now? Exposure, isn't there? Exposure. You know, the word says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And even the Lord rebuked his people and the Pharisees and Sadducees and said, man, you can discern the times and the seasons, but you can't discern what's going on right now. And much of the body of Christ has no idea what's going on right now. So it's our responsibility to learn to share. We want to know what's going on right now. We want to know what's happening right now in the world so we aren't deceived by foolishness, by false doctrines, by false promises, by empty words. In Matthew 24, is everybody there? And we're going to start at verse 3. We've been there before. Let's read this together. Now as he, Jesus, sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us when these will be and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age, which will be the end of the age of grace. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one what? Deceives you. For many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Is that happening now? See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is what? Not yet. For nation will rise against nation. Now, I'll grab hold of this. Nation is also associated with ethnic, in other words, belief systems. And if you see what's going on right now, many nations are being overtaken, aren't they? And in these overtaken nations and what's happening right now, in other words, in Iraq, Iran, Saudi Arabia, all of these places, Egypt, all of these places, these nations in an uproar, aren't they? There's a revolution going on. And the people are fighting amongst themselves. And the purpose of this is so the Antichrist system can get in position. Because their desire is to attack Israel. This is the Confederacy. This is what's happening. So these nations are now rising up. First of all, they have to overtake within their own nation so it can become a nation of Antichrist. It says, nations will rise up against nations and kingdom against kingdom, And there will be famines and pestilence and what? Earthquakes in various places. Remember, we talked about earthquakes. And we have come to the point now where there is an earthquake every 13 days. Every 13 days. Never like this before. An average of every and more. It's getting closer and closer. Because the word tells us that the final end is going to be such an enormous earthquake that it's going to wipe out every mountain and flatten it. And you and I will come and restore. So everything that you're seeing right now, everything you're reading about here is happening. It's an arm's reach away. Nation against nation. Kingdom against kingdom. Famines and pestilence and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of what? Sorrows. And I'll look at verse 9. Then they will what? Deliver you up to what? Tribulation and what? Kill you. They'll attempt to what? Kill you because you will be persecuted. Well, I thought I'm going to leave here. Well, I hope you do. But there is no guarantee that there's a rapture before the tribulation. No guarantee. There's no guarantee that we're going to be raptured in mid-tribulation. But there's a guarantee we will be raptured. Hallelujah. And they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by what? All nations. What nations? The ungodly nations. For what? My name's sake. And many will be offended, and many will betray one another and hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. Wait a minute now. What nations? All nations. So will the godly nations already know? Of course. So what's he talking about? The ungodly nations. You know that Jesus himself is visiting many ungodly nations. He's visiting many, many people all over the world. Of course, there are nations also that are standing up for Christ, aren't they? I love it. I don't know if you read about the, maybe I read it, I don't remember. The Prime Minister of Australia, powerful. She stood up for Christ. Said, listen, if you don't like our belief system, get out. If you don't like how we speak, we're not turning over to your language. We're not turning over to your laws. We're not turning over to anything you have. We have peace here. And we have freedom here. And we want to maintain our freedom and our peace. And I can offer you another freedom. It's called leave. Because it's a godly place, isn't it? It's a godly nation. And there are many other godly nations, but there are many ungodly nations who want to take your peace, who want to take your freedom and rule us like slaves. And that's why it's being exposed right now, globally. Nations, ethics, kingdoms. These kingdoms are known as empires. These ethics and that they have that, and believe in these nations that cause nations to come against Israel. They are with hatred. And the Lord tells us, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. You know, it's amazing. I was driving down the road the other day and there was a bumper sticker on somebody and it had a logo of Hindu, Muslim, Christ, all of these logos of all these religions. I had to put my flesh in submission. I wanted to roll up to the window and say, you are deceived. There will never be a unity of beliefs. There's only one truth. There's never going to be a unity of beliefs. And anybody who tries to do it is associating with doctrine that's ungodly. And it says that we're to expose them, not associate with them. Go to Joel chapter 3. Is everybody there? Verse 1. For behold, in those days, at that time, when I bring back the captives of Judah and Jerusalem. Are they coming back? All over the world. I will also gather all what? Nations, and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, and I will enter into judgment with them there. What nations? The ungodly nations. On account of my people, my heritage Israel, whom they have what? Scattered among the nations. So he's going to come into judgment with those who have scattered his people. He's going to come into judgment who divide his land. He calls them an ungodly nation. They have also what? Divided up my land. They have cast lots for my people, have given a boy as a payment for a harlot, and sold a girl for wine that they may drink. Indeed, what have you to do with me, O who? Tyre and what? Sidon are the ungodly nations? Yes. And all the coasts of what? Philistia. Is that an ungodly nation? Yes. Will you retaliate against me? But if you retaliate against me swiftly and speedily, I will return your retaliation upon your own head, because you have taken my silver and my gold and have carried it into your temples, my prized possessions. Also, the people of Judah and the people of Jerusalem, you have sold to the who? Greeks. Is that an ungodly nation? Yes. That you may remove them far from their what? Borders. Behold, I will raise them out of the place to which you have sold them, and I will return your retaliation upon your own head. I will sell your sons and your daughters into the hand of the people of Judah, and they will sell them to the Sabians, to the people far off, for the Lord has what? The Lord has spoken. He says, proclaim this among the nations. Prepare for what? War. In other words, the Lord's return. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble and come, all you nations, and gather together all around. Cause your mighty ones to go down there, O Lord. Let the nations be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there I will sit to judge all the surrounding nations of where? Israel. Put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, go down, for the winepress is full, the vats overflow, for their wickedness is what? Great. So the Lord is going to come into judgment against these nations that divide his land, scatter his people, and all the surrounding areas of Israel. It's amazing. They've tried to destroy Israel over and over and over. This little country that's about the size of New York. They can't come against them. Even in the Six-Day War, all the nations around Israel tried to get them, and they couldn't. And in 6 days, they defeated those nations. Somebody else did the same thing. Joshua. In 6 days, what happened? They went around, didn't they? It was a 6-day war, and then they blew the trumpets. And on the 7th day, what? Bam. Collapsed, and they took the land. Go to Isaiah 31. Isaiah 31. Is everybody there? Would you read it with me? Woe to those who go down to where? Egypt. Remember, we had that prophecy for 2011 about Egypt. Woe to those who go down to Egypt for what? Help. Egypt is also associated with the world. Woe to those who go to the world for help. And rely on horses, who trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong, but who do not look to the Holy One of Israel, nor seek the Lord. Yet he also is wise and will bring disaster, and will not call back his words, but will rise against the house of evildoers and against the help of those who work iniquity. Now the Egyptians are men and not God, and their horses are flesh and not spirit. When the Lord stretches out his hand, both he who helps will fall, and he who is helped will fall down, and they will what? They will all perish together. For thus the Lord has spoken to me, as a lion roars, and as a young lion over his prey, when a multitude of shepherds is summoned against them. He will not be afraid of their voice, nor be disturbed by their noise. So the Lord of hosts will come down. He will what? He will come down and fight from where? Mount Zion, that's in Jerusalem, and for its hills. Like birds flying about, so will the Lord of hosts defend Jerusalem. Defending, he will also deliver it. Passing over, he will preserve it. Return to him against whom the children of Israel have deeply revolted. For in that day every man shall throw away his idols of silver and idols of gold, sin which your own hands have made for yourselves. Then who? Assyria shall fall by a sword, not of what? Man. Well, what kind of sword is it going to be? It's going to be the sword of the Spirit. And a sword not of mankind shall devour him, but he shall flee from the sword, and his young men shall become forced labor. He shall cross over to a stronghold for fear, and his princes shall be afraid of the banner, says the Lord, whose fire is in Zion and whose furnace is in Jerusalem. Judgment against them. Woe to those who go to Egypt. Pharaoh. Remember the same thing that happened with Pharaoh. Was that an ungodly nation? It's still an ungodly nation. Nothing has changed. Go to Judges chapter 8. Hallelujah. Judges chapter 8. And we'll start at verse 4. Is everybody there? Judges 8, verse 4. When Gideon came to the Jordan, he and the what? 300 men who were with him crossed over, exhausted, but still in pursuit. Then he said to the men of Succoth, please give us loaves of bread to the people who follow me, for they are exhausted, and I am pursuing Zeba and Zamalia, or something like that, kings of Media. And the leaders of Succoth said, are the hands of Zeba and Jomama, Zalmuna, Uparocharemia Rohosi. Anyways, these two people. Now in your hand that we should give bread to your army? Ooh. So Gideon said, for this cause, when the Lord has delivered Zaba and Zalmuna, Mana, into my hand, then I will tear your flesh with the thorns of the wilderness and with briars. Then he went up from there to Peniel and spoke to them in the same way, and the men of Peniel answered him as the men of Succoth had answered. Nice. So he also spoke to the men of Peniel, saying, when I come back in peace, I will tear down this tower. Verse 15. We'll make a long story short. Then he came to the men of Succoth and said, here are Zaba and Zumala. Zubabababa. Zalmunna. Man, aren't you glad we don't have names like these now? We'd have to change them. That's why I had to change mine. Anyways, then he came to the men of Succoth and said, "Here are Zabah and his buddy, about whom you ridiculed me, saying, 'Are the hands of these two now in your hand, that we should give bread to your weary men?' And he took the elders of the city and the thorns of the wilderness and briars, and with them he taught the men of Succoth. Then he tore down the tower of Penuel and killed the men of the city and said to Zabah and, you know, his buddy, 'What kind of men were they whom you killed at Tabor?' So they answered, 'As you are, so were they. Each one resembled the son of a king.' Then he said, 'They were my brothers, you idiots, the sons of my mother. As the Lord lives, if you had let them live, I would not kill you. But obviously, I'm going to kill you.' And he said to Jether, his firstborn, 'Rise and kill him.' But the youth would not draw his sword, for he was afraid, because he was still a youth. So Zabah and his friend said, 'Rise yourself and kill us, for as a man is, so is his strength.' So Gideon arose and killed Zabah and Zamala, whatever, and took the crescent what? Ornaments that were on their camel's neck. What is a crescent ornament? It's an Islamic ornament. Has everybody got it? You mean you're against Islam? No, I'm against the Antichrist. I love everybody. But it's time to be exposed, because the cry of Ishmael is happening. Is everybody with me? The crescent ornament is known as the crescent moon. These are the ungodly nations that worship the moon god. They are Muslim nations. Isaiah 3. Aren't you glad you came tonight? These are Muslim nations that are known as ungodly nations, and they worship the moon god. Isaiah 3:13. Is everybody there? Let's read it. The Lord stands up to plead and stands to judge the people. The Lord will enter into judgment with the elders of his people and his princes. For you have eaten up the vineyard, the plunder of the poor in your houses. What do you mean by crushing my people and grinding the faces of the poor, says the Lord God of hosts? Moreover, the Lord says, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with outstretched necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they do, making a jingling with their feet, therefore the Lord will strike with the scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will uncover their secret parts. In that day, the Lord will take away the finery, the jingling ankles, the scarves, and the what? Crescents. The what? Pendants, the bracelets, and the veils, the headdresses, the leg ornaments, and the headbands, the perfume boxes, the charms, and the rings, the nose jewels, the festal apparel, and the mantles, the outer garments, the purses, and the mirrors, the fine linen, and the turbans, and the robes. And it shall be, instead of sweet smell, there will be a stench. Instead of sash, a rope. Instead of well-set hair, baldness. Instead of rich robe, a grating of sackcloth. And branding instead of beauty. Your men shall fall by the sword, and your mighty in the war. Her gates shall lament and mourn. She, being desolate, shall sit on the ground." Now, in other words, he's going to come in judgment against the nations and against those who are associated with worship of what? The moon god. The crescents. Is everybody with me? Now we're going to go a little bit deeper here. So I want to step back a little bit so we get a better understanding. Let's go to Genesis 16. Genesis 16. In verse 1. Now Sarah, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, and she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. So Sarah said to Abram, "See now the Lord has restrained me from being with child. Please go in to my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her." And Abram heeded the voice of Sarah. So Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, and the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. And after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, so he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. And Sarah said to Abram, "My wrong be upon you. I gave my maid into your embrace, and when she saw that she had conceived, I became despised in your eyes. The Lord judge between you and me." So Abram said to Sarah, "Indeed, your maid is in your hand. Do to her as you please." And when Sarah dwelt harshly with her, she fled from her presence. Now the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, "Hagar, Sarah's maid, where have you come from and where are you going?" And she said, "I'm fleeing from the presence of my mistress Sarah." And the angel of the Lord said to her, "Return to your mistress and submit yourself to her hand." Then the angel of the Lord said to her, "I will multiply your descendants exceedingly, so they shall not be counted for multitude." And the angel of the Lord said to her, "Behold, you are with child, and you shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction." I want you to look at this. What's this say? He shall be a what? A wild man. His hand shall be what? Against every man. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his what? All of his what? Brothers, those associated with him. Do you understand that? So here's three things. So it's not saying he's going to dwell in the presence of God, is it? He's going to dwell in the presence of his brothers. He's going to be wild, and he's going to be against what? All men. Then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, "You are the God who sees." For she said, "Have I also here seen him who sees me?" Therefore, the well was called Beer Lahaya Raho Hinya Hehoya. Kaddish and bread. So Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram named his son, whom Hagar bore, Ishmael. Is everybody with me? Now, this happened, and Abraham was 86 years old. Now this is, you know, and let me tell you, many people birth Ishmaels because they do things out of God's time. Now Sarah knew she'd already been promised by God that she would conceive, but it didn't happen yet. So she said, "Well, it's not happened yet. Let's go do it. Since I can't have the kid, go with her. At least it'd be." But see, it's really truly not family line. Go to Genesis 21. Now remember, he was going to be wild, he's going to be against all men, and he will dwell with the presence of his brothers. In 21, verse 1. And the Lord visited Sarah, and he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age. at the set time of which the what? The set time. If you don't do things according to God's time, you produce Ishmaels. At the set time which God had spoken to him, and Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me. She also said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? For I have borne him as a son in his old age. So the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, scoffing. Therefore she said to Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, namely with Isaac. And the matter was very displeasing in Abraham's sight because of his son. But God said to Abraham, do not let it be displeasing in your sight because of the lad or because of your bondwoman. Whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her voice, for in Isaac your seed shall be what? Called, in other words, there shall be a promised seed that's going to come from the lineage, the descendants of Isaac, that is going to redeem the world. Yet I will also make a nation of the son of the bondservant, bondwoman, because he is your seed. So Abram rose early in the morning and took bread and skin of water, and putting it on her shoulder, he gave it and the boy to Hagar and sent her away. Then she departed, wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba, and the water and the skin was used up, and she placed the boy under one of the shrubs. Then she went and sat down across from him at a distance, about a bow shot, for she said to herself, let me not see the death of the boy. So she sat opposite him and lifted her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad. He heard the voice of who? The lad. Then the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said to her, what ails you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him with your hand, for I will make him a great nation. Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the skin with water and gave the lad a drink. So God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. He dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took a wife for him from the land of what? From the land of Egypt. Is everybody with me? Now listen, I want you, the reason why this was brought forth is because you got to look at here. Isaac is born 14 years later. So Ishmael is 14 years old now. All of a sudden, his father says, you got to go. And so the mother, Hagar, and Ishmael were sent away into the wilderness. In other words, Ishmael was kicked out of the family. He was sent into the wilderness. He carried rejection, he carried bitterness, and he carried hatred. But those were the things that had to be done to fulfill what he was called. He would be what? Wild. He would be against what? All men. And he would not dwell in the what? Presence of God. Is everybody with me? It didn't mean God was not with him. He was with him. He was able to prosper him. So here he was with hatred against all men, carrying down the family line, and all the way to the descendants, all the way to Muhammad. All the way to who? Muhammad. And of course, many others. And in this, they worshipped many gods, many idols, moon gods and all kinds of stuff. Is everybody with me? And it was said that Muhammad was in a dark cave, and while he went into this cave, a spirit came on him and frightened him. and would not allow him to move or leave. It gripped him. You know when fear grips you? And in this, the Spirit kept saying and commanding him to recite. And the things that he was commanding him to recite were the beginning of the Quran. Are you listening? And in this, one of the things that was, he was reciting that Allah, the moon god, is the only God. And he was commanding, Spirit was commanding. So when the Spirit let him go, he ran and he left and he went and he knew that it was a spirit. And but when he went home and he was frightened about this demon and he knew it was about a demon, it was told to him that it wasn't a demon, that he was a prophet. Are you listening? It was told to him that it wasn't a demon, it was a prophet. And it produced the greatest Antichrist religion with the logo of the crescent moon. Turn to 1 John chapter 2. Is everybody okay? 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18. Let's read this together. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, and even now many what? Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from where? From us. Now I want you to look at this. They went out from us, but they were not of us. That's Ishmael and Isaac. Does everybody get this? I want you to look at this as not only associated with present, what is to come, but what? Past, because the word is what? Three-dimensional. It's past, present, and future also. Now, wasn't Isaac and Ishmael from the same father? Right. So one stayed and one what? Went. One was associated with what? Christ, and one was associated with what? Antichrist. Even now many antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made what? Manifest or exposed, that none of them were of us. But you have a what? An anointing from who? The Holy One, and you know all things. That's why it's important to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but he who what? Denies that Jesus is the Christ. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? What antichrist religion? Well, of course, if it's an antichrist religion, it's going to deny that Jesus is the Christ. He is a what? Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Does Muslims deny the Father and the Son? Yes. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, let that abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also abide in the Son and the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Go to Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14. Is everybody one there? Let's start at verse 3. And it shall come to pass in that day, the Lord gives you rest from your sorrow and from your fear in the hard bondage in which you were made to serve, that you will take up this proverb against the king of Babylon. Now, is Babylon a Christian nation? No. And say, how the oppressor has ceased, the golden city ceased. The Lord has broken the staff of the wicked, the scepter of the rulers. He who struck the people in wrath with a continual stroke, he who ruled the nations in anger, is persecuted, and no one hinders. The whole earth is at rest and quiet. They break forth into singing. Indeed, cypress trees rejoice over you, and the cedars of Lebanon, saying, since you were cut down, no woodsman has come up against us. Hell from beneath is excited about you, to meet you at your coming. It stirs up the dead for you, the chief ones of the earth. It has raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. They shall speak and say to you, have you also become as weak as we? And this was going to happen to Satan, Lucifer. Have you become like us? Your pomp, your pride has brought you down to hell. And the sound of your string instruments, well, who was the praise and worship leader of the universe? Lucifer. Yeah. The maggot is spread up under you, and the worms cover you. This is what's going to happen. Look at verse 12. How you have fallen from heaven, O who? Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High God. And the Lord responded, yet you shall be brought down to hell, the lowest depths of the pit. Now, I want you to grab hold of this, because the word Lucifer has a specific meaning. In Arabic, it's Hela, H-I-L-A-L, which means moon. Bara, I believe it's B-I-R-E, which means star. And Sahar, S-A-H-A-R, means crescent. So what he's calling Lucifer is the hello. Does everybody get it? That's the logo, isn't it? That's a representation of Lucifer's name. So to the Muslims that are being deceived, and this is to them, God loves you. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, his name is Yeshua. His name is Jesus the Christ. He is your God. And the God that you worship now is known as the moon god. And your father loves you so much that he's beginning to expose, and he wants to hear the cries of Ishmael and rescue them. It is time. But we must be prepared also. We must be ready. Amen. Go to Daniel 11. To every Muslim, I want to say that God came into the earth to produce his own blood. You cannot be saved by your own blood. He said, sacrifice and offering he did not require. By you killing yourself and giving your members of your family and household to blow yourselves up, your blood doesn't count of anything. Man's blood does not count for anything. There's only one blood that counts to get you in heaven. And when your people die, you go to hell. This is a cry of the one that is in the wilderness, that you will receive today the truth If you are a Muslim, this is for you. Man's blood does not get you to heaven. Only the blood of God gets you to heaven. In Daniel chapter 11, in verse 29, your Messiah is the Antichrist. To every Muslim, your Messiah is the Antichrist. Mahdi is the Antichrist. We'll get more into this later. Daniel 11, verse 29, at the appointed time, he shall return and go toward the south. He's talking about the Antichrist. But it shall not be like the former or the latter, for the ships of Cyprus shall come against him. Therefore he shall be grieved and return in rage against the what? Holy Covenant. Where's the Holy Covenant? Israel. And do damage. So he shall return and show regard for those who forsake the Holy Covenant. He will give what? Regards who what? Forsake it. Who turn away from it. And forces shall be mustered by him, and they shall defile the sanctuary fortress. Then they shall take away the daily sacrifices in a place where the abomination of desolation. Those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery. But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. And those of the people who understand shall instruct many. That's why you're here. Yet for many days they shall fall by the sword and flame, by captivity and plundering. Now when they fall, they shall be aided with a little help, but many shall join with them by intrigue. No, in other words, because it's going to be difficult, many will depart from the faith, taking heed to doctrines of demons and seducing and deceiving spirits. Verse 35. And those of understanding shall fall to refine them, purify them, and make them white until the time of the end, because it is still for the appointed time. Then the king shall do according to his own will. He shall exalt and magnify himself above every god, shall speak blasphemies against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the wrath has been accomplished, for what has been determined shall be done. In other words, the Lord is going to allow the wrath of God to be used through them. He shall regard neither the God of his fathers. Now listen. He shall neither, who is this? Ishmael, the lineage of Ishmael. He shall neither regard the God of his fathers nor desire of women. Now what? Look at. What religion disrespects women? There's only one. There's no regard for them. Women are like dogs to them. They are mistreated. They are abused. They are sold and they are in slavery. He shall regard neither the God of his fathers nor the desire of a woman, nor regard any God, for he shall exalt himself above them all. But in their place he shall honor a God of fortresses. That's one, a God of war, a God of jihad. And a God with his fathers did not know, he shall honor with what? Gold and silver, with precious stones and pleasant things. Thus he shall act against the strongest fortresses with a foreign god, which he shall acknowledge and advance its glory, and he shall cause them to rule over many and divide the land for what? Gain. Amen. These nations are known as empires. Okay? And in this, these are satanic rulers, satanic empires. Go to Revelation 13. Is everybody okay? We're going to be going into this a little bit so we get a fuller understanding. And Revelation 13. Is everybody there? In verse 1, then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads blasphemous what? Name. Against who? So all of these heads will be known as kingdoms or empires. And these horns will be known as kings. And we're going to go back into this more so there'll be more fuller understanding. The beast, of course, is the Antichrist kingdom. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and its feet were like feet of a bear. And these all represent nations that we'll talk about. And his mouth like a mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and his great authority. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. This is a nation, a kingdom, an emperor. So they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast, who is able to make war with him? And he was given a mouth speaking great things and what? Blasphemes. And he was given authority to continue for what? 42 months. Then he opened his mouth and blasphemed against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. Are you listening? And authority was given him over every tribe and tongue and nation. And all who dwell on earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And I want to give you these seven nations associated with end time, the satanic empire. It will be Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Media Persia, Greece. Now, these are kingdoms that overtook one another. In other words, Egypt started with who? Pharaoh, remember? And then they were overtaken by Syria, then Babylon overtook them, and then Media Persia, and then it went to Greece, and then it went to Rome, remember the Roman Empire? And it tells us that these things are going to be restored again, aren't they? And that's what's happening right now. There's a confederacy, but they're called different names now in certain areas. We got Iraq, Iran, Saudi Arabia, all these countries. And right now, Turkey is actually the rising one now. All Islamic rule is there now. At one time, they were a decent nation for a period of time, but now they have been overtaken. All the ruling authority there is Turkey. And that's where the confederacy is being established, is through Turkey right now. So you've got Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, Rome, and it will become the Islamic rule through Turkey. And that's where the confederacy is. Is everybody okay? And that's what's happening right now. I want to close at Isaiah 46. And again, we will go more in depth with this, God willing. We will get to the mark and understanding of these names and what's going on. Isaiah 46, in verse 1, this word Bel, it's one of the names of Allah. It's a representation of the moon god. Bel bows down. Does everybody hear it? Bel what? bows down, he will bow. Nebo stoops. Their idols were on the beasts and on the what? Their idols. What was the idols? The crescent. Your carriages were heavily loaded, a burden to the weary beast. They stoop, they bow down together. They could not deliver the burden, but have themselves gone into what? Captivity. Every knee shall bow and tongue confess. Listen to me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, who have been upheld by me from birth, who have been carried from the womb. Even to your old age I am he, and even to gray hairs I will carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you. To whom you liken me and make me equal and compare me that we should be alike. They lavish gold out of the bag and they weigh silver on the scales. They hire a goldsmith and he makes it a gold. They prostrate themselves. Yes, they worship. They bear it on the shoulder. They carry it and set it in its place and it stands. From its place it shall not move. The one cries out to it, yet it cannot answer. He's talking about idols. Nor save him out of his troubles. Remember this and show yourselves men. Recall to mind, O you transgressors. Remember the former things of old. For I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things that are not yet done. Saying, my counsel shall stand. I will do all my pleasure. Calling a bird of prey from the east, the man who executes my counsel from a far country. Indeed, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. Listen to me, you stubborn-hearted, who are far from righteousness. I will bring my righteousness near. It shall not be far off. My salvation shall not linger, and I will place salvation in Zion for Israel. Is my glory. So he said, Bel, the moon god. Now, I want to share with you a couple other names. Allah has 99 names. And I'm going to share just a few. One of them means the most proud. Causes affliction. Causes death. And the great deceiver. That's just some of them. And if you think about it, when we talk more about the number 6666 meaning man, and the natural, also 6 meaning economic, religious, and government. That is their purpose, to rule economically, to rule governmently, and put Sharia law into effect, and to have one world religion, and anyone not willing to submit to that will be beheaded according to scriptures. The Antichrist army is here. They are using people. They are brought up in hatred. They have been told to kill Israel and every Jew. That's what they live for. The Quran hasn't changed. Whether they're modern, whether they're terrorists, or whether they're not, the end result is they will all come together at some time. So the hope is that we carry the truth and we be ready to tell them, because God's heart is open to hear the cries of Ishmael's descendants. Amen? Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We ask, Lord, that you'll continue to bring to us remembrance and keep us alert as we watch things begin to unfold right before our eyes. And Lord, that we may be a witness in this dark time and a light of truth, being ready in season and out to rescue those calling out on your name. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Hallelujah. Be blessed.